Like, yeah. No one would be terribly surprised if Andy Farrell picked Robbie Henshaw. Like, oh, he's shit. No, get him out of the team.
That's not what
the commenters are saying.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Barney Murphy, I don't hear you in the studio. Morning, lads.
Good morning. Where are we?
Thanks for coming in. We'll get to the League of Ireland tonight because loads of big games to look forward to. But the Europa League final has been set. Manchester United against Tottenham Hotspur. Owen's decided to wear his Spurs white in to the studio this morning.
I knew you're a United fan all day long.
It's such an interesting final, isn't it? Like, so much at stake. The conversation seems to be, oh, who does this mean more for, you know, Ange or Ruben? But it means a lot to both of them, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, you're looking at two teams that have really struggled in the Premier League, you know, this season. Like, and you just seem to turn it on in the Europa Cup and both in the final. If whoever wins it, it's turned into a, you know, a decent season for them. They can weigh with a trophy and they're in the Champions League next year. And that's a massive, massive result for that team that gets there, especially with signing players. But, you know, it's a difficult one, especially for United, being a United fan. They've played Spurs three times this year and got beaten, or, you know, beaten by them three times, should I say, this year. And it's a big game going into a final against them. Obviously, you would have hoping for getting to get in, so, you know, might be a little bit easier. But it's an interesting final for both managers to come away with a trophy at the end of the year. And, you know, you look at United over the last few years, have managed to get trophies. Hopefully that'll stand to them. You know, Spurs haven't won a trophy in a while, so I think this could be a one for United to say turn a bad season really into a decent season. And we're only talking outside, and you say, you look at Arsenal, Champions League semi-final, second in the league, don't have a trophy to show, but one of these teams will come away with a trophy and in the Champions League next year, so it's not a bad season.
Yeah, it's worked out quite well. Like, look, the league has been abysmal, as Owen said, for both these teams, but to finish it off with a trophy, Champions League qualification, you can draw players into the squads maybe over the summer as well with that carrot at the end of the stick. So it's huge.
It really is. When you look at 80-odd million, I think, and pounds, and then what you get for going through the group stages and through several rounds next year, it's a massive caveat to go and win it. Obviously, yeah, Arsene Wenger's trying to degrade it a little bit, saying that you shouldn't be qualifying, but yeah, I think you should. Like, this, look at the likes of the FA Cup. If Palace go and win that, do they not deserve to be in Europa League next year? Like, you have to have that kind of, as you said, a carrot to go and to get to the next level. And I think you'll only attract the teams to put out better players and sacrifice their league positions if you have that caveat of going to the Champions League next year. So,
yeah. He's only come out with that now because it's two English teams that are chancing again. Yeah. Like, a lot of Spanish teams have done it for the last few years and no one has said anything. But, you know, it's a big carrot at the end of the day for one of them getting into Champions League qualifying next year.
The league position has obviously suffered so much. So I was just looking at it yesterday about, like, it's 3.2 million. Pounds for every position you drop in the league. Like, so United are could be losing 50 odd million by the end of the season if they do finish in 17th and 15th at the moment, compared to what Liverpool would be getting obviously for winning it. But I think it's obviously you've got to toss it up between your league position that's obviously sacrificed that weeks ago, and Spurs aren't far off as well, like sacrificing for till the end of the season to go and win a trophy. But it only works if you go and win it and qualify for the Champions League.
In fact, he's so honest as a manager. I remember when he came out, he said they don't have the players for the demands of the Premier League, but they have the players for the Europa Cup.
Yeah.
So it shows you how hard the Premier League is, and he's noticed that, and he's being honest with it. And even last night when he's talking about players on the bench, he doesn't have players to change attacking-wise over the last few weeks. Last night he did, with Mount coming on and Ahmed coming on, changed that dynamic of United, because for 60 minutes they weren't in the game, you know. And if Athletic had got a second goal, then it would have been a squeaky bum time for them. But brings on these subs, changes the game, more attacking, more threat, lifts the crowd, get the goal, get the second goal, and then they go on and win the game 4-1, like in the end. So,
do you know, as bad as Manchester United have been this season, are they at their level now in the league? Like, are they the 15th best team in the league? Are they still underperforming?
No, the league never lies. That's where they are in the league, and that's where they are. Like, so you can say,
but you know what I mean? Everyone criticizes the squad, but are they actually underperforming?
I would say if they went in the Europa Cup, they'd probably be higher up in the league.
Yeah, the last three, four weeks.
They just don't have the players for Thursday, Sunday.
Last against Brentford, no one's batting an eyelid.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't just wipe those games off.
I know, it's crazy. It is.
But I think you're right, Barry.
I think it's actually crazy. It is mad. Now, for us in the show, it's because in that instance, that specific game, like, which we've loads of sport to cover when we come back during the week. So unless it's something significant, we're not going to get time to do it. But even besides that, it did feel largely like, oh yeah, we lost, yeah. And I was even looking online in the comments, and you can only ever read so much into comments, both positive and negative. But I was reading the full-time score on like United's Instagram page, and it was like, Mason mounted well today, fair play Mason. Yeah. And it was like, if you read the comments and then read the score, it doesn't correlate at all.
Like, and what does he do for the next couple of weeks? Do you try and put out a team that you're going to put out in the final? Do you try certain things in games now? Are you using that as a pre-season for the next 2 weeks? Like, it's,
I think as well, he doesn't want to reflect too much on that Brentford result because he wants that confidence to be a little bit higher going into the game last night.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be flogging players anymore. Like we did back then. Like back then, you were back in August, September, October, 3 months of pre-season for three games before Christmas.
Available now in your OTB JA feed. An hour in the company of Armagh's All-Ireland winning manager, Kieran McGeaney.
We live in a world of clickbait and things like, and so you're seen as this particular type of person.
His thoughts on football's new rules, his relationship with the media, and the best way to treat players. Don't miss out on this in-depth conversation with Armagh's All-Ireland winning manager, Kieran McGeaney, and so much more. Become a member now at offtheball.com/join.
We were having a chat at the top of the show this morning about the Lions videos doing the rounds yesterday. We thought the actual official stuff maybe went on a little bit too long. There was too much drama and hype around the whole thing, but that the actual videos that came out from teams, I saw the Northampton Saints video particularly, and the reaction of players and what it meant to players. You've obviously been in that position and had that moment where you hear your name called out. Like, what's it like? It must be just a surreal sort of experience.
It is surreal, and it brings it back for me. Obviously, I was a bolter in 2009. I don't think I need to go into me not going to South Africa. I think everyone really knows at that stage that I didn't end up going on the tour. But it was incredibly, do you know what, when I saw all those videos yesterday, it was lovely for all those players, even the ones that are kind of guaranteed. I think the best one for me was Ollie Chesham, the English second row back row from Leicester. I just loved the fact he was sitting with his younger brother on the couch and his mum. And, to see that, obviously someone's videoing him within the family, they're at home. Mm-hmm. And you're just waiting for that announcement. It's a very special thing. For me in 2009, I was a complete bolter because I was 24th, 25th man usually for the Six Nations. I warmed up all the way through with Ireland when they won the Grand Slam and didn't get to play. So I never thought that I'd be in that position. And I was explaining this to someone yesterday, you know, when my son actually asked me, AJ, he said, how did they get them all in the Lions jerseys so quickly? Or, you know, how are they all in Lions jerseys for the photos? Well, they come around during the Six Nations with a cameraman. They go into the Ireland camp week of whatever match. They pick a week and they'll take headshots of most of the squad, nearly all of the squad, obviously to be prepared that if you're in contention, that they have that headshot for you, that they can play it out. I was so far removed, I wasn't even in when they came to the Ireland squad in 2009. I wasn't asked to put on a Lions jersey and take a photo. So I wasn't one of the contenders. So when my name was called out, they superimposed my head onto Martin Williams' shoulders, the Welsh back rower.
Broad shoulders as well. Yeah,
so look, I've probably said this a few times. It was in between a fitness day, so I think we might have done weights in the morning and it was a fitness speed session in the afternoon at Munster. It wasn't a rugby day, so I was obviously lived close at the time to Thomond Park. So after the first session, have a bit of lunch, go home for, you have 2 or 3 hours off before you're back in the afternoon session. And I went home around, whether it was 1:30, 2:00 again, the announcement time. I turned on the TV, turned off the TV, turned it on, was going to have a little power nap, which, you know, we would have been recommended when you're doing that, those kind of fitness, weight, speed days. I was trying to have a little nap and I was twisting and turning a little bit on the couch and on the bed, sorry, and I turned it back on. I was shocked. It was incredible. I enjoyed it for a couple of weeks and then the rest is history. But
was that your first indication, like the TV?
I had no clue. People asked me, oh, surely you got a nod that you were in contention. Not in the slightest. I was so the reaction you see on players yesterday, a lot, most of them are in contention, really. Was there any bolter yesterday who came totally out of the blue? Like Henry Pollock, after last week's performance, he's accelerated. Now, you know, I've talked a few weeks ago and he's that he could be an outside shot and all that. But I think after last Saturday, most people after the weekend would have said, you know, he's played himself onto the tour here. I was so far removed. I honestly was completely convinced that I was not in the reckoning here. So the shock of that was phenomenal.
To listen to this morning's Off The Ball breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.